This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. A local coal company, Mountain Coal, recently bulldozed more than a mile of road in a roadless area of National Forest so that it could expand its mining operations. Conservation groups protested that a recent federal court order prohibited the road building, but mine operators disagree. Now the state of Colorado has intervened. The state has blocked further road building or tree removal by Arch Coal, which owns Mountain Coal, in the Sunset Roadless area in the North Fork Valley. Dennis Webb, a reporter for the Grand Junction Sentinel, has been covering the story and spoke to KVNF.
It centers around an effort by Arch Coal to expand the underground West Elk mine into the Sunset Roadless area in the Gunnison National Forest up in the upper North Fork Valley. And that's something that's been opposed by some environmental groups. A lot of court action tied in partly with that and some other aspects of the expansion. But there has been a Colorado-specific roadless rule that the Forest Service and the state kind of agreed on several years ago that addresses generally protecting roadless areas and national forests in the state. But the one major exception is nearly 20,000 acres in the North Fork Valley, where it does allow disturbances of roadless areas for coal mining. And a lot of coal mining in the valley, which now is really just the one mine, West Elk, 10th Circuit Court of Appeals said basically that the whole exception area needed to be vacated. So that's what's at issue now, is whether Arch Coal is saying it still can go in there and start building roads. Conservation groups disagree, and now the state of Colorado also is disagreeing.
So what has the state of Colorado done?
Yeah, just this week, the Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety issued a cessation order basically telling Arch Coal you need to stop any surface disturbance in that roadless area. That doesn't affect the underground mining operations. Until Arch Coal answers that or satisfies the state's saying you can't do that because it appears you no longer have legal surface access. Because of this emergency motion that conservation groups have filed at the district court level trying to get this appeals court ruling enforced, I believe Arch Coal and the Forest Service both have until Monday to file responses as well, because the conservation groups are basically trying to get the appeals court order enforced. And Arch Coal says they have the appeals court ruling specifically allows them to proceed with the road buildings. And the Forest Service hasn't commented. They don't comment on acting litigation.
And that was the Grand Junction Sentinel's Dennis Webb. As the weather warms, more and more people are recreating outdoors. But with high runoff and cold waters, the state's rivers and reservoirs can be dangerous. Sadly, last weekend, 5 people drowned in Colorado reservoirs, and earlier this spring, another 4 drowned in rivers. None of the victims were wearing life preservers. According to Colorado Parks and Wildlife, it's not uncommon for people to go out on the water without wearing a flotation device. In 2019, at least 34 water recreation deaths occurred in Colorado, and many of the victims were not wearing vests. Kirsten Copeland, manager of Ridgeway State Park, spoke to KVNF about how such drownings can be prevented.
All of those things are potentially preventable if somebody has a flotation device on, because then it gives you that extra time and ability to be safely rescued or to safely paddle to shore if necessary.
Yeah, and in most of these reservoirs, the water is really cold, right?
The way we've been trying to get that a message across here is that our water, starting at this time of year, is in the 50s. So it's roughly half of your normal body temperature. And what we find for the people that we have helped rescue here recently is that they say that they didn't understand how cold it was and how quickly they started to be affected by that cold and started to panic associated with that. And so all of those things would be greatly improved by having a flotation device, so you feel like you can kind of get your calm and your composure and make your plan. Or if anyone witnesses it or sees you adrift, then they have more time to intervene.
If people show up at a state park reservoir and they don't have enough PFDs with them, where can they obtain one?
All of the state parks loan them. And so if people let us know on their way in that they don't have enough jackets for someone, we try and keep a variety of sizes available. We loan them out at no cost because it is that important to us that they be available for folks, because our goal is for everybody to be here and have a great time and be safe.
And that was Kirsten Copeland of Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Cities and counties across the country are declaring that racism is a public health crisis. Now Denver has joined the list. Ray Ellen Bichelle with the Mountain West News Bureau reports.
James Hodge is a law professor at Arizona State University. He says legally, calling it a crisis doesn't carry as much weight as calling it a public health emergency.
If Denver's mayor declared a public health emergency, assuming that he or she had the capacity to do so, or the state of Colorado did that, that makes a big difference as far as what government's prepared to do to respond.
But he says these proclamations are still important. As Denver City Council member Stacey Gilmore put it,
this doesn't change any of our policies, but words matter. It matters that we haven't had an acknowledgement of what is America's original sin. It's our greatest sin.
Milwaukee was the first U.S. city to declare racism a public health crisis. That was a year ago. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ray Ellen Bichelle.
In a related story, a national survey of infant outcomes shows that our region has work to do for children of color. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
The nonprofit 0-3 analyzes metrics that contribute to a child's success every year, and for the first time, they broke it down by race. They found that infant mortality was higher for Hispanic babies than for white babies, and even worse for Black babies. In parts of our region, more than three times worse. Mountain West states had mixed results when it came to other factors that influence infant health too, like access to health insurance or prenatal care. Patricia Cole with 0-3 thinks we need to address those.
These are our future workers and innovators and leaders, and the foundation that we're giving them today is going to determine how well our country does in the future.
Cole says that states may have better data sets of their own, but this is just a first step to call for change. According to CDC data, Native Americans also have high rates of infant mortalities, often nearly as high as Black Americans. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
In Colorado, the infant mortality rate for white babies is 4 per 1,000 births. For Hispanic babies, that number is 5, and for Black babies, it's 8.6. Nearly half of Colorado babies born are of color. And that concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.